Moncrief on News Talk.
Apologising, very much a fine art, but most people don't know how to do it. How do you sound sincere, or how do you apologise when you don't mean it? Terry Prone is chairman of the Communications Clinic and an expert in apologising and joins me now on the phone. Good afternoon, Terry. How are you today?
Good. I am fantastic and all the better for talking to you, Tom.
You're very kind, Terry. Being an expert in apologising, is that a hard-won experience?
Oh, yes, because one of the problems when CEOs or managing directors do something awful is that the PR people, their own PR people usually, immediately say, oh, we have to put out a statement. And that is the first wrong step that you can do. You need to do nothing until you have worked out, okay, what did this guy actually say? What is the actual situation? And how wounded are the victims? For example, if you don't know the full facts, you could end up like the BP guy in 2010, I think it was, who came out. Now, one of their rigs, one of their deep water rigs had blown up. It had killed 11 people. It was polluting the sea. And he said, I swear to God, he said on media that it was a minor incident and that compared to the amount of water in the sea, the pollution was tiny. Now, that was on the first day. He then spent the following 10 days saying, okay, this is serious. Oh, this is catastrophic. But he still couldn't prevent himself doing a truly awful thing at the end. On media, when somebody asked him about the awful damage to victims, he said, look, no one wants this to end more than I do. I would like my life back.
Oh, my God. This is,
yes. And that's where somebody is not hauled into a room and told, shut up, until first of all, we get the details. And secondly, we work out how offensive you're going to be. And telling the absolute truth, you need to, first of all, let's say, Tom, that God between us and all harm. On this program, I say Tom Dunn's music is like a cat puking, right?
I have to lie down for a moment. Carry on, Terry.
I then, people in News Talk come to me and say, you really are going to need to apologise on air about this. If I then come back and say, I appreciate I didn't say the most sensitive thing in the world about your music, that is not an apology. I need to be saying, I'm really sorry for calling your music cat puke. It needs to acknowledge exactly what was said. And if you can, acknowledge something of the pain and damage that you have done to the other person. It is amazing how often people want to talk about themselves. They say things like, well, anybody who knows me knows I'm not a racist.
Yeah.
That isn't the point. You said something racially offensive about an individual. Go fix that.
And that, I think, is an increasingly big thing with social media, where everybody kind of has a presence on the media these days and try and insert themselves into stories. You very often see somebody has passed away, a celebrity has passed away, and it's immediately followed by a photograph of that celebrity and whoever it is that's tweeting out or whatever, saying, this is when I met them, as if it is now suddenly a story that involves them.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is, the Americans have a great rule, which I would heartily recommend to your listeners. And it's in initials, it's KYOS. And it means keep yourself off stage. Don't be telling us what a wonderful person you are or how wonderful your organization is and how, oh, please don't give us the one bad apple in every organization, because that's one of the things that people say. They also say dreadful things like, well, I appreciate that these days I have to be more politically correct. Oh, my God. No, 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 no. If you have said something that is culturally offensive, don't talk about being politically correct. And furthermore, don't say that your words were taken out of context. If you were offensive, own your offensiveness.
I mentioned that people putting themselves into stories, but I was thinking as I was saying that, that increasingly a lot of amateur kind of, you know, you're promoting yourself, but you're really, you don't have the strength of a large organisation. Unlike, say, the vice president of VP at, or BP at the time, it's just people who just are trying to promote themselves and can't turn up their noses at this opportunity to do it again. But it's still in the case of large organisations, they still make mistakes to this day, don't they?
Oh, they make dreadful mistakes. And the lure of the open microphone leads people to do dreadful things. They can't just say, I'll deal with you later. They feel that they must do it right there and then. I remember, it must be now 20 years ago, there was an accident in a company in Cork where there was a fire and explosion, all that jazz.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate environmental officer went out in front of his own building, always a mistake, and he said something like, well, toxic is a matter of degree. And at that precise moment, the building behind him blew up on screen. And I mean, I met the unfortunate man afterwards and he was able to be funny about it. But there wasn't an immediate victim. And that's the other thing. If you're not the victim, you're allowed to be funny. I remember an ad on radio where you talked about, I think it was your daughter, asking you if you had ever encountered Kate Bush.
Yeah.
And instead of saying, I made her apologize for the insult, the ad was very funny about how very well you knew Kate Bush's work. But that was because you weren't really offended.
Yes.
If you're really offended, then humor needs to be kept out of it. The other example of apology, it's possibly the most famous one ever. About 40 years ago, somebody poisoned containers of Tylenol, the painkiller, right? And 11 people died. And Tylenol did the most fantastic job. They had all the pills off every pharmacy shelf within 48 hours. They put huge notices in all the papers saying, if you have time, don't use it, bring it to your pharmacy, all of that jazz. And then they simply stopped manufacturing it. They stopped manufacturing it until they could work out a completely childproof, accident-proof way of doing the lids and all that jazz, so that in future things would be much safer. There'd be no possibility of somebody tampering with the thing, as clearly had happened in this instance. But everybody in pharmaceuticals says, wow, the Tylenol apology was actually the best ever. But the interesting thing, they never apologized. They just acted.
Right.
They did the right thing. They saved lives. They moved. They took a huge financial hit. They didn't waste time coming out saying, we are sincerely about none of that. They just acted.
Right. I'm looking at two other recent stories, and I don't know if you want to draw attention to them. I think you could say they've suffered enough. But as you look at the what's gone through the two most recent apologies that went badly wrong, it does seem to be that it's when you put yourself into it. And very often that is trying to explain that you can understand somebody else's loss. And then you make reference to your own family or something like that. That seems to be a very bad or potentially very bad mistake to make.
Oh, yes. And it comes from people saying, oh, you need to show that you care. But that's turning the attention back on you. You need to prove that you understand the damage that has been done to the other person. And very often, if you haven't been trained to do this, you find it very difficult. The new research that came out today says that something like 20% of people are not comfortable with apologizing, to which the answer is, you shouldn't be comfortable. but you should do it anyway. And in America particularly, they now train doctors because they have worked out that when a doctor makes a mistake, if they confess quickly and apologize in a most straightforward way, they stand much less chance of being sued. People understand when somebody takes responsibility and says, that was my fault, I made an error, I know it has hurt you, I'm desperately sorry.
So it's kind of get stuck in and be straightforward and address what you've done. There's one listener, Eugene in Clonakilty, because I think it ties in a little bit with that article you were mentioning, talking about an apology that drives him nuts. That's when somebody says, I'm sorry if I offended you.
Oh, he is so absolutely right. Any apology that has an if in it is a bad apology. And the worst kind is when people say, I'm sorry if you felt I hurt you, which of course puts the blame on you, the victim. That's not the way to do it. There's never an if in a good apology. You're saying, I'm sorry for doing X. I know it was the wrong thing to do. If I can fix it, I will. But in the meantime, I'm just desperately sorry. By the way, the other thing I hate to tell you is that research does suggest that women are better at apologizing than men.
Right. I'd need to think about that for a long time, Terry. Are they? Are they really, Terry?
I think that one of the things that I encounter, which is very odd, is that whether they're good at it or not, women apologize all day, every day, even for things that aren't their fault and are completely irrelevant to them. Women instinctively say, oh, I'm sorry, when something happens, even if it, so they have better practice at it.
Right. I'm trying to think of a few examples in my mind of a particular woman apologizing to me, and it's not coming to me, Terry, I won't lie.
Yeah, but that's the thing, that no woman has ever offended you, Tom.
Yes, you know. That must be it, all right. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Terry, thank you very much for talking to us today. And I have to say, I'm sorry that we're cutting you short, obviously, at this point. We should have longer. But Terry, thanks very much indeed. Pleasure talking to you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.